Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Drops the throw. Steps up. Floats a bomb up the right seam. Looking for Anderson. He's got it. They're not going to catch him. He's going to go the distance. Touchdown. Sam Darnold dials it up to Robbie Anderson. 92 yards.
Anderson, too much deflected. And picked up Mosey. He'll take it in. It's a pick six. And a touchdown.
Bell. Into the middle of that line, and it's a touchdown.
Big return for Crowder, 85 yards.
Pass thrown, there was contact with the quarterback, and it's incomplete. They got pressure on Prescott. It was Adams who came blitzing in.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1, and it is draft season. So, as you know, when draft season comes, we like to have draft pros on to talk about some of the prospects so we know what the Jets could be looking at and what they could be getting themselves into if they pick certain prospects. So, went out and got one of the best national recruiting director for Rivals.com. He's been recruiting for 23 years, so the man knows his college football, Mike Farrell of Rivals. Mike, first question I'm going to ask you before anything else, do people still call you Captain Honeycutt, or is that joke done with now because MASH has been off the air for a long time?
I hear it every once in a while. You know, it's he's not on social media, luckily, but I do get confused with him, and some people send me some vitriol to my Twitter because he's very outspoken politically. And but the BJ Honeycutt MASH jokes here and there, it's for the older generation. The younger kids don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I had the same thing. When I was a kid, people used to call me Perry Mason. Now nobody even knows who that is. And even Anthony Mason, the former New York Knick, I got called a lot. Yep. And now nobody remembers him either.
It's you know, what have you done for me lately? They just remember the last couple of years.
Exactly. Just like the draft. You could have a great draft, and then a couple of years later, you have a terrible draft, and then people are yelling and screaming at you that you can't draft. So you've got to make sure that you're a consistently good drafter. And Mike, that's why I'm glad that you're on, because we can talk about what the Jets can do to push the needle in that direction this draft. I want to start with the offensive line. Let's talk about the big four tackles first. Mekhi Becton from Louisville, Jedrick Wills from Alabama, Andrew Thomas from Georgia, and Tristan Wirfs from Iowa. What do you think of those four individually?
You know, each has their strengths. I think the you know, Becton is a freaky athlete. And the advantage that I have, and it doesn't make me any better at projecting who's going to be an NFL superstar, is that I covered these kids in high school. So I got to know them and get to know their work ethic and how they've developed. And Becton was always a big kid, but he increased his athleticism greatly. Obviously, that 40 time turned a lot of heads at the combine. And, you know, he's looked at as a premier left tackle. And he's going to be a guy that I think is off the board, you know, before the Jets even get an opportunity to pick. There's quarterback need up top. But there's also offensive line need, you know, ahead of the Jets. The good news is there are four of them. You know, Jedrick Wills is a guy that could play tackle or guard. He was a five-star prospect coming out of high school, All-American at Alabama. Very good combo run blocker, pass blocker, whereas Becton is more of a pass blocker, more of an athletic kid, and needs to get lower in run blocking. Worf's more of a road grader at Iowa. He was a four-star prospect coming out of high school, had a terrific career. Iowa produces physical offensive linemen. You know, they really bring that edge to them. And he was just a big surprise of how athletic he was at the combo. He was a little bit soft in high school, and he learned that toughness at Iowa. And then you've got Andrew Thomas, who is a guy, you know, who was also a four-star coming out of high school, had a great career, started right away in the SEC, which is very hard to do at Georgia. You know, good run blocker, pass blocking has been a little bit of an issue. So whoever ends up with Andrew Thomas is going to have to, you know, work on his pass set and things like that. But all four of them, I think, have an opportunity to be 10-year NFL guys.
You think any of them makes it to number 11?
Mm-hmm. You know, there's not going to be four taken, you know, in the top 10, which is good news for Jets fans, you know, because obviously the Bengals, the Lions, the Lions might trade out, and the Dolphins, you know, the 1, 3, and 5 spots are going to be quarterbacks. So then you look at the other teams. The Redskins are going to take Chase Young. We all know that. New York Giants could take an offensive lineman. You know, and if the first one off the board, I believe, would be Wills, you know, just because I think he's the most complete. But you never know. I mean, different teams have these guys on their boards at different levels. Then you look at the Chargers and the Panthers and the Cardinals and the Jaguars and the Browns. I mean, a lot of needs there. For sure. And you assume the Cardinals are going to get an offensive lineman to help protect Kyler Murray. And you assume that, you know, maybe the Browns might go offensive line as well. But one of these four is going to be available to them. This is how I rank them. I think Wills is the most complete guy when it comes to run blocking versus pass blocking and just doing everything well. I think, you know, my second guy is Wirfs because he's just – solid. He's not spectacular, but he's a very good athlete. I think he's also a guy who can play guard or tackle. Becton is third for me. He's a high-risk, high-reward type of guy. He's either going to be a superstar left tackle or he's going to flame out. But I'm leaning more towards superstar because of his athleticism and feet. And then Andrew Thomas is fourth for me. So if they can get one of the top three, I think you'd be very happy as a Jets fan. Andrew Thomas, not a bad player. Don't get me wrong, but just you got to worry about this pass protection.
Let's talk about some of the second-tier options in case the worst-case scenario happens and none of those four are on the board at number 11 and the Jets either trade down or look to get somebody later on. What about guys like Ezra Cleveland, Josh Jones, Austin Jackson, Lucas Yang, Prince Tego Wanagahu, Matt Pert, Ben Bartsch? What do you think of some of these guys?
Too much of a reach after the big four at 11. I think if the four are gone by 11, the Jets will probably trade down. You can get a solid offensive lineman late in the first round or in the second round. You know, there is a lot of upside with many of those guys, but just not to the skill and athletic level of the big four. So I think if the four are gone by 11, you know, the Jets will either trade back or, you know, they might go wide receiver, you know, depending. Because if you talk about four going in the top 10, plus you got to assume Isaiah Simmons is going to go in the top 10 because he's a freak. One of those two wide receivers is going to be available. Three wide receivers because Henry Ruggs is now definitely in the discussion for number one, you know, with CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy. And you can't really go wrong with any of those guys. And the Jets do need help at wide receiver, but I see them taking one of those four tackles and then hitting wide receiver maybe in the second round.
What do you think of those second-tier tackles, though? Any that you like in particular?
Jackson, I do like a lot. He's a kid that I followed, you know, quite extensively through high school and through college. I think he's going to be one of those very solid plug-in guys who's going to have a 7-8-year career. You know, Prince is very interesting. He's a freak athlete. He came to us as a high school football player, as a defensive end. And he just didn't know how to play football. He had no idea what he was doing, but he's a massive kid, 6'6", you know, 270 pounds of lean muscle. And Auburn did a good job finding a fit for him, similar to what Virginia Tech did with Wyatt Teller. You know, Wyatt Teller was sort of a big physical kid who didn't know what he was doing on defense. They flipped him around to offense, and now he's, you know, in the NFL. You know, he's a very intriguing one to me. He's got a high boom or bust factor, but, you know, I think his athleticism is off the charts.
What about Josh Jones?
I like Josh Jones. I just don't like him as much as other people do. And again, I want to preface this by saying I've been wrong as much as I've been right. you know, the draft is amazing to me because, you know, I'm jealous. Like, I scout high school football players, and I obviously scout college football players for the draft. If I just did college, I mean, I get to see a guy go up against top-level competition. You know, unless he's a second-tier guy, FCS guy, you know, that's a little bit difficult to evaluate. But, you know, to see Jedrick Wills or some of these guys, Andrew Thomas, they're going against SEC defensive linemen. It's great scouting opportunity. But, you know, guys like Josh Jones just sort of, I just don't see him, you know, as a guy that you would definitely not reach on at 11. Maybe if he drops to the second round and you do go receiver, he'd be a solid pick. But I certainly like Jackson and Prince better.
What about some of the interior offensive linemen? Because I don't think the Jets are going interior offensive line in round number one, but it could be two, three, or four potentially. You've got guys like Biadasz. You've got guys like Cushenberry. There's Ruiz. There are a couple of others. In fact, Matt Hennessy has become a popular figure just because his brother is the long snapper, Thomas Hennessy, on the New York Jets. Who are some of the interior linemen that you like to potentially grab in rounds two, three, or four?
Ruiz is very intriguing, and I think, you know, there's always a center that, well, not always, but usually in the draft, there's a center that ends up going, you know, in the 15 to 32 range. And I see Ruiz as that guy. You know, Hennessy is a guy that I think will be around in round three, you know, if they want to wait, if they want to hit offensive line and wide receiver and then wait till round three. There's some intriguing guys. Cesar Ruiz, I think, would be a home run. Let's say, you know, they somehow he slips to round three, which is not going to happen. But, or let's say they want to hit wide receiver with the first pick, which is doubtful. And then they want an interior offensive lineman rather than taking a risk on one of the tackles that's left there. Ruiz is a guy that's definitely going to be a leader on your football team. You know, sort of a, not as quirky, but, you know, Mangold was a guy who everybody liked. He was a leader in the locker room. He was a leader on the offense. Ruiz is that type of guy. He started early at Michigan. He really sort of took that offensive line under his wing and took on a leadership role. So I do like Cesar Ruiz quite a bit, but I think Hennessy will probably be where they go if he's available, you know, in the third round or so.
What do you think about guys like Cushenberry and Nick Harris from Washington?
You know, solid football players. You know, again, guys that have issues, you know, but anybody after the first round has issues. Even the first rounders have issues. You know, I like Biadasz, you know, from Wisconsin. You mentioned him earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Much better. He's a kid that played defensive tackle in high school and has a real physical edge to him, a sort of a defensive lineman's mentality on offense. There's questions about his athleticism, but he's a guy that I would take over those other two guys.
Mike, let's talk a little wide receiver, and we'll start with the big three that you mentioned before. That, of course, Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs, both of Alabama, and CeeDee Lamb of Oklahoma. Talk to me about those three. Just how good do you think they can be? And if those top four offensive linemen are off the board, would you go with one of them if they're available? And if one of those guys was available, say Andrew Thomas, who you're a little lower on, and you had the opportunity to pick Thomas or one of those receivers, would you consider taking one of the receivers over Andrew Thomas?
Yeah, the big question is, you know, you've got to help Sam Darnold. You know, he's your franchise quarterback. Do you help him with protection? Do you help them with weapons? And they want to do both. And this is a pretty deep wide receiver class, whereas I think there's a huge drop-off at offensive line after the big four. So if one of those four is available, they're going to take a tackle. I would be really surprised. I would be tempted, certainly, you know, if a CeeDee Lamb or a Jerry Jeudy dropped to me. Henry Ruggs is a speed guy, and he's stronger than people think, you know, but everybody says, oh, he's John Ross, and John Ross hasn't panned out yet. He's not. John Ross was a system guy in a spread offense who just outran everybody. You know, Ruggs is a guy in a pro-style offense, downfield threat, who just got separation with such ease that I think he's going to be better than that, but he's still third on my board. So I wouldn't reach for him at 11, but I would be so tempted to take Jerry Jeudy, who's one of the best route runners that you're going to see come out of college. He's a Stephon Diggs type of route runner. Or CeeDee Lamb, who to me is the next new Hopkins, you know, that type of body control and balance and, you know, catch radius. So what do you do if you're the Jets and Andrew Thomas is available and one of those two wide receivers, I wouldn't go Ruggs, is available? It's a really difficult decision to make because you got to protect Darnold, but you also got to give him weapons. So I think it's a deeper wide receiver group. So I would go offensive tackle, and then I would try to hit wide receiver in the second round and see who slips there.
To your point, Mike, Daniel Jeremiah has said that he's got 27 wide receivers with a round 3 grade or better in this draft, which is as good as I can ever remember. You've been doing this a lot longer than I've been following it, so I'm sure that you've seen many wide receiver classes. Would you say that this is the best one you've seen, or at least among the top?
It's a very, very deep one. You know, I think every year you find those guys that do well, test well, but people still don't fall in love with them. Like Chris Godwin's a tremendous example at Tampa Bay, and then they turn into stars. There's a lot of guys like that. You know, I mean, when you got a guy like, you know, Chase Claypool, who blew up the combine from Notre Dame, you know, perhaps outside the top 10 wide receivers, that shows you how deep it is. When you got a speed guy like KJ Hamler, who's going to be available, you know, obviously in the second or third round, or an athletic freak like T. Higgins, who I think is going to definitely be available in the second round, you know, Laviska Shenault, on it goes. Justin Jefferson is also a great wide receiver, a kid, you know, that could slide to the second round. So if you're a team that needs a wide receiver, you know, you might wait. I think there's going to be three first round wide receivers, and I think that's going to be Jeudy and Lamb and Ruggs. And then I think you're going to see a ton of them taken in the second round. And Jalen Reagor is another one that I haven't even mentioned, though I like a lot, as a guy who I think, you know, could potentially be a first-round talent that you can get in the second round.
I was actually just going to mention Jalen Reagor because he's one of the guys that I've been pounding the table for. I think if he's available 48, he'd be an absolute steal. Is that the guy that you think the Jets should target above all else if he's available? And talk to me about some of the other guys that you think the Jets could get in round 2, 3, or 4, because it sounds like there are a lot of potential starters in this draft. Denzel Mims may go in the first round based on what happened at the combine, but you've got guys like T. Higgins, whose stock seems to be dropping a little bit, Laviska Shenault, Brandon Ayuk. So there's so many of these guys that are available. Brian Edwards is another one. I could sit here all day listing them. You know them inside and out. Who are some of the ones that the Jets should be potentially looking at between rounds 2 and 4?
Well, Reagor's definitely a guy that I think is going to slide to round 2. And, you know, I think be available for them to pick if they decide to do so. You know, Ayuk is a guy that a lot of people have in their mock drafts as a late first rounder. I think he's going to slip to round 2. Mims is a freak. He's a freak, and I don't think he's getting enough attention. But again, he's a guy that a lot of people have in their mocks late first round. But I do think there's going to be sort of a slowdown at wide receiver, even though it's such a deep group because there's so much depth. A guy like Tyler Johnson, you know, in Minnesota, that a lot of people aren't talking about, is a tremendous football player. You could take a huge receiver and a red zone guy in Colin Johnson at Texas. You know, Michael Pittman USC is just a tremendous wide receiver, and nobody even talks about him till like the third round. You mentioned Bryan Edwards. I mean, these are big physical wide receivers who all run in the 4.5, 2 to 4.6 range that, you know, may not seem as fast as other guys, but they create separation. They're tremendous football players. There's a huge drop off though. The guys I wouldn't go on, you know, it's a little risky to go on Chenault because of the injury history. You know, I would stay away from him if I were, you know, if he dropped to the second round. And T. Higgins, I wouldn't go on either. And you know what? T. Higgins is a physical freak. He's 6'4", 216. He ran a 4.55. You know, at Clemson, he's got a tremendous body of work. You know, and in high school, he was a five-star basketball player, football player, just a great athlete. But I don't know if he's got that mentality, and he does get dinged up. And, you know, the last thing you want to do is take a wide receiver if it's an important position for you that gets dinged up. So that's why Chenault and Higgins would be off my board in the second round. And a guy like Justin Jefferson, I haven't mentioned a lot. If he slides to round two, I would jump on him. But if you had a choice between, let's say, Jefferson and Rager, I would take Rager.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Let's talk about cornerback a little bit. And before we get into the guys that the Jets may pick in rounds 2, 3, or 4, because that's more likely than them picking somebody at 11, the one cornerback that I think would be in play at 11 if somehow he made it there, and I can't imagine he would, is Jeff Okuda. There are Jets fans that believe that the Jets absolutely have to use this pick on offense. I think that is the case unless somebody like Okuda or Chase Young somehow magically fell to 11. I don't expect either of them to. However, there have been some mock drafts that have suggested that Okuda could slide a little bit. If he's there at 11, the Jets have to jump on that, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't see him sliding to 11. And another, you know, player we can mention that slides to 11 that I think they have to jump on would be Isaiah Simmons. Those are the two defensive guys. Chase Young is certainly not going to fall to 11. We're in the apocalypse now, so I guess I shouldn't say the world would have to end. But, you know, Chase Young is not going to be there at 11. They would have to trade up. Okuda probably won't be there at 11, but if he is, you got to jump on him. He's a very, very well-rounded corner with a tremendous work ethic who could play corner, could play safety, could play nickel, can cover slot, can cover outside. His technique is awesome. His size is good. He runs well. You know, remember, this is a kid who didn't have to do anything at the combine if he didn't want to, and still tested and went out there. I love Jeff Okuda. And Isaiah Simmons is just a freak of nature, just sort of a Swiss Army knife where you can just put all over the field. And the guy that if he slides to 11, a defensive player that I just think they can pass on. But aside from that, you know, the cornerback group is not that deep. So they're going to have to hope to get lucky, you know, and find the right guy and hope that one of these guys, there's talent here, but there's a lot of inconsistency when it comes to technique and things like that. So they got to hope to find a cornerback, I would say, in the fourth round, third round. I think they have 2 third round picks, so they'll probably take a cornerback in the third round.
Anybody you like in that range?
Yeah, there's a few guys. You know, again, like I said, they got a lot of talent. They just haven't put it together. I mean, a guy like A.J. Terrell is really downgraded quite a bit out of Clemson because he got toasted, you know, in the playoff and abused. You know, but he was getting toasted and abused by Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. Ja'Marr Chase obviously isn't eligible for the draft this year, but he's the top wide receiver on the board for 2021. Jefferson is a potential late first rounder. Terrell's 6'1", he's 195, he ran a 4.42. He's faster than that. So he's a guy that would be, you know, a nice risk to take on. If you want solid, Jalen Johnson from Utah is a guy I like. 6'1", 193, 4.5 flat. And I also like Bryce Hall at Virginia. 6'1", 202, you know, 4.5, 3. He's a very good cornerback who tackles well, you know, but he was injured in 2019. He's physical. You worry how physical he is that he might get injured, but those are the guys that I like.
I like Bryce Hall a lot too. That would be a great pick sometime in the mid rounds if they're able to address needs earlier in the draft. I wanted to ask you about running back too, because they have Le'Veon Bell. He struggled a little bit, but they do need speed and youth at the running back position. One guy that I really like is Anthony McFarland Jr. from Maryland. I think he's got the exact skill set that the Jets could use, and that speed is a killer. Talk to me a little bit about who you like as potential running backs in the mid rounds, because I don't think the Jets are going to go running back early, but I think they very well may sometime around round 4 or so.
Yeah, I like this running back class. I really do. You know, McFarland's one of those guys that, you know, is a mid-rounder. A lot of people aren't paying too much attention to him, but he would be, you know, sort of that small, quick running back that you can get out in space and also use in the passing game and, you know, similar to what the Patriots do with a lot of their running backs. But there's going to be guys that slide to the middle rounds like A.J. Dillon. From Boston College, who is just a freak of nature, you know, as far as, you know, Derrick Henry size, you know, 6'2", 245 pounds, and I think he ran like a 4.5 something at the combine. You know, Benjamin, a lot of people are down on him from Arizona State. They say he's got too much tread on the tire. He's a little too short. His 40 time is 4.57, wasn't good enough. His body of work is excellent. You know, and he's been the guy at Arizona State since day one and put up big numbers, and they were putting 8 in the box on him. So I think there's value in the middle rounds at the running back position. It's not super deep, but there are some sleepers in there. And, you know, you mentioned McFarland, but I would say, you know, Dillon and Benjamin are guys to keep an eye on too in that fourth, fifth round.
Mike, I want to ask you a little bit about edge rusher, because this has been a need for the Jets for about 15 years now, and they're not going to get Chase Young, as we talked about earlier, but Clavon Chaisson, this is a very divisive prospect. Some people really love him. Some people are not so keen on him. Seems to be a situation where it's all about the traits and the tools, and if you look at him and you see the flashes and you think that you can bring that out on a regular basis, then he's a guy you would consider at number 11. Otherwise, he's very boom or busty. What do you think about Chaisson? Putting everything else aside, do you think he could potentially be worth the 11th pick?
No, I don't see it. I mean, I like him as a pass rusher. I don't think he's that strong against the run. You know, he reminds me of a guy out of LSU and Arden Key who, you know, had a good career, got derailed a little bit with some off-field stuff and, you know, just never really panned out. He was a sort of a situational pass rusher. I think this is a very weak defensive end and edge rusher draft. I mean, you got Chase Young, who's a freak, and then you drop down to, you know, Chaisson and Gross Matos from Penn State and Vanessa from Iowa. I mean, all of these guys have issues. So I definitely wouldn't go 11 there. I would look to later, you know, in the draft and see who slides, see if there's somebody like, you know, like a Jason Stobridge out of North Carolina or Kenny Willekes, who I really like as a high motor guy who's not a super athlete, but will make a lot of plays in the NFL level. You know, see if those guys are there. Darrell Taylor, you know, take one of those guys and hope you find gold. You know, and just don't even reach on that 11 pick. James Lynch is another guy I like a lot too, but he's more of a defensive tackle out of Baylor. But no, 11, no. Two defensive guys. You know, again, Chase Young's not going to be there. Okuda, Isaiah Simmons, that's what I would do. Other than that, you got to go offense to do the Jets.
I don't think that the Jets are going to be picking an inside linebacker or a safety early on in the draft, but maybe perhaps later as depth pieces, or even if somebody really good falls to, say, the fourth round, you could see something like that if it's unexpected. Who are some guys that Jets fans should be aware of at the safety and inside linebacker positions for that range in the draft?
Yeah, it's not a great linebacker draft either. You know, there's a big drop-off after Simmons. You know, Patrick Queen obviously is going to go in the first round. So you're going to look for guys that have a good resume. They're good on film. You know, they bring some power, some athleticism, but may not run as well as some others. You know, like a Shaq Quarterman out of Miami. He's a starter from his freshman year. You know, he's a inside guy. 6'1", 235, you know, doesn't run that well, but is instinctual, takes good angles to the football. And he'll be a guy that slides and will be available because he ran that 4.74, and that's going to hurt him for sure. And then there's going to be a lot of small school guys, I think, available, you know, like a Sean Bradley at Temple or Corey Rogers at West Georgia, Dante Olson at Montana. You know, a lot of guys no one's ever heard of, you know, Kavit Tazino at San Diego State. I mean, none of these guys you've ever heard of. And they're all 230-pound guys, 235-pound guys, 240, who run in the 4.7 range, but also have good diagnostic skills and can sort of, you know, make up for their lack of speed by anticipating the play. But it's a really bad linebacker group to me overall.
What about quarterback? Obviously, the Jets aren't picking anybody early, but maybe a late pick as a developmental prospect to develop as a potential backup behind Sam Darnold. Anybody there you like?
Well, you know, you might as well, this is my theory, you might as well take a quarterback in every draft. I know some people say it's a wasted pick. You got Darnold, but you just never know what you're going to get in the late rounds. I mean, obviously Tom Brady was a sixth rounder, and that's never going to happen again. The greatest quarterback to ever live, but you just don't know what you're going to get. And you can get a guy that could be a solid backup for you. The problem in this case is there's so many quarterbacks that are developmental guys that have so many problems. You know, like a Shea Patterson, who's a talented, talented kid. You know, showed flashes at Ole Miss, was okay at Michigan, just didn't live up to expectations. He's going to be available in the late rounds, but his arm strength isn't that great. So, you know, you worry a little bit about that. Brian Lewerke for Michigan State, you know, had some great games and then looked horrendous in other games. You know, and then you get guys who are athletes like a Khalil Tate. You know, what is somebody going to do with Khalil Tate out of Arizona? I think someone's going to take him in the late rounds and they're going to say, hey, you know, you give you a shot at quarterback, but if it doesn't work out, you're going to be a wide receiver or running back, and you might be able to fill a position that way too. So, you know, those are a few guys that stand out. But like I said, when you get into the developmental quarterback, you just got to get so lucky. You just got to, you know, find your guy that you like and hope he develops into something. And it's really a crapshoot, especially in this draft where I don't see a ton of quarterback talent. I don't even, you know, I like Burrow. After that, you know, Tua's injury prone. That worries me a lot. Herbert is not a natural leader. Eason has a ton of talent, arm talent, just hasn't shown it. You know, on and on you go. From, it's just not a good quarterback class. So once you get into the developmental guys, you could find somebody there that's just hitting their peak and who could be better than some of these guys.
Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News is a frequent guest on this show, has suggested that the Jets should consider drafting a punter maybe in the seventh round just because it's been a problem, and even place kicker, which has also been a huge problem for the Jets. Is there anybody that you see that could potentially either be a late round pick or a good signing as an undrafted free agent?
Yeah, I mean, I would never draft a punter. That's just one of my things. You know, and a kicker would have to be pretty rare. But yeah, there'll be guys available there, you know, like Anthony Lottie from Wisconsin, you know, is a guy who could go in the seventh round or could be a free agent. You know, Bailey Kate, Old Dominion, you know, Blake Gillikin, the kid at Penn State. You know, these are all guys that I think will be seventh rounders or free agents. But I think you can always get a punter in free agency. I don't think you need to draft one. It's not like Ray guys out there in this class or any other class that I've ever seen. You know, there's no difference makers in this class. I mean, Brandon Mann is the top punter for most people out of Texas A&M. And if it's not him, it's Joseph Charlton out of South Carolina. Sixth round at best.
Mike, one guy I forgot to ask you about, and I know you wouldn't pick him at number 11 because you said that the only two defensive players you would pick at number 11, other than Chase Young, who won't be there, are Jeff Okuda and Simmons. So I wanted to ask you about C.J. Henderson because he's somebody that has been mocked to the Jets in a couple of mock drafts, so there could be some interest there. I'm not saying they should pick him at 11, but what do you think in terms of his draft stock? Is he worthy of somewhere in that 11 to 15 range?
He'll go, you know, because it's, again, not a strong cornerback draft. So after Okuda, I think CJ will probably be the second one off the board after he ran that 4.39. And then there's a big drop off after that. You know, Trevon Diggs is an interesting player, but didn't run as expected. You know, and then you got Cam Dantzler, who I just, you know, think really killed his stock with that 4.64. Damon Arnett, you know, he's not 11 worthy, CJ, but he'll go in the top 20. The only other one that I could think of, and again, I don't think it's a need, would be Derrick Brown. Because I think Derrick Brown, the defensive tackle at Auburn, is probably one of the top two or three defensive tackles in the last 4 or 5 years in the draft. But he's going to be gone too. I mean, there's no way he gets out of 6 or 7. No, C.J. Henderson's good. He started as a freshman. He was a leader. He's 6'1". He's 204. He runs a 4.39. He does take a lot of chances. Plays the ball well. But, you know, I think he's going to be a number one corner and a Pro Bowler. But I again think he's probably going to go in that 15 to 20 range.
Mike, I can't be sure of many things in this life, but one thing I am 100% positive of is if the Jets pick Derrick Brown at number 11, there are going to be riots over at Florham Park the next day. I promise you that the Jet fan base has no appetite for another interior defensive lineman.
He's so much better than those other guys they took. He's just so good. He missed, I think, 3 tackles in his entire career, 4-year career at Auburn. He's so, so good. But I know what you're saying. I get it. And I don't think it's a really big enough need for them. It would be interesting. They wouldn't be sorry. I'm telling you, they wouldn't be sorry. He's one of the highest value draft picks in this draft by far. You can't miss. But again, if you're the Jets, Okuda, Simmons, those two guys drop. You can't take an interior defensive lineman.
I'm hoping that somebody takes Derek Brown in the top 10 just so it pushes one of those offensive linemen down towards the Jets. But, Mike, I got to ask you the most important question here. Let's say you were Joe Douglas and you're heading into this draft and you've got the picks that Joe Douglas has. What would you be looking to do? What would your overall strategy be? And who are some of the players you'd be looking to target with the picks that they have?
Well, I'm definitely taking a tackle, and one of them is going to be available. You know, like I said, I'm not in love with Andrew Thomas, but if Andrew Thomas is there at 11, that's who I'm taking. In the second round, I'm taking a wide receiver because it's deep enough, but you don't want to get into the third round. So a Jalen Reagor type of guy. Then you get into interior offensive line, corner. You know, we talked about Hall and a few of the interior offensive linemen. That's what I would hit in round three. And then after that, it's continue to sort of pile up, you know, best player available type of situations. You know, is there a guy that slid? Is there a developmental quarterback that you like? You know, maybe a Nate Stanley, who's a little bit more than a developmental quarterback. I think he could be a starter in the NFL at Iowa. Let's say he's sitting there at round five. You might hop on him, although it seems like a waste to pick because of Darnold. But that's who I would target: offensive tackle, wide receiver, corner, interior lineman, and that's my first three rounds.
Mike Farrell, National Recruiting Director for Rivals.com. He's been recruiting for 23 years, so this is a man who, when he speaks about these prospects, you want to listen. He just laid out for you what he thinks of these prospects, what he thinks the Jets should do, and what he would do if he was Joe Douglas. Mike, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. I hope you'll come back soon. Maybe after the draft, we'll do a wrap-up or something like that. For anybody who's unfamiliar with your work, why don't you go ahead and let them know all about it?
Yeah, just go to rivals.com. We find these kids before anybody else. You know, so if you're looking at Andrew Thomas, we knew about him as a sophomore in high school, and we've evaluated him since that time. You know, or a Tristan Wirfs or a Jedrick Wills or Matthew Becton or whoever. You can learn about these guys well ahead of time, and you can follow me at Rivals Mike on Twitter.
Go ahead and follow Mike on Twitter. Read his work over at Rivals.com. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and TurnOnTheJets.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.